How wise was King Solomon really? 1. Solomon ascends to the throne. The halls of the palace in Jerusalem were grand and opulent, their high ceilings echoing the sounds of a kingdom alive with the rhythms of governance, trade, and worship. Solomon, the newly anointed king of Israel, sat on his father David's throne, a symbol of a dynasty chosen by Yahweh himself. Solomon was young, just a boy in the eyes of many, but he was the son of David, Israel's most beloved king, and chosen to lead the nation forward. The kingdom of Israel had grown strong and prosperous under David's rule, but now the weight of that same crown pressed down upon Solomon's brow. The death of David had left the kingdom at a crossroads. Solomon knew the burden that awaited him: a kingdom to rule, justice to uphold, and a covenant with Yahweh to maintain. Though his father had been a mighty warrior, it would be wisdom and discernment, not the sword, that would define Solomon's reign. The people were numerous, the decisions heavy, and the path ahead unclear. Solomon's first great act as king was to establish a firm alliance with Egypt by marrying Pharaoh's daughter. But the concerns of the nation weighed upon him. Though Israel was at peace, Solomon was mindful of the fractures that could threaten the fragile unity of the 12 tribes. With a heart heavy and a mind seeking direction, Solomon made his way to Gibeon, the most important high place in the land, to offer sacrifices and seek the counsel of Yahweh. The dream at Gibeon. The night in Gibeon was thick with the sounds of the wilderness, the crackle of the sacrificial fires, and the murmurs of the priests at the high place. After Solomon had offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar, he lay down to rest, the warmth of the embers fading in the distance as sleep overtook him. And it was in that sleep, during the quiet hours of the night, that Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream, a vision both profound and deeply personal. In the dream, Yahweh spoke directly to Solomon, his voice filling the young king's mind with both awe and comfort. "Ask what I shall give you," said the Lord. Solomon stirred within his dream, aware that this was no ordinary slumber. He knew that this was a divine encounter, an invitation from the Almighty to make a request that could shape not only his life, but the future of his people. Solomon's mind raced. What could he ask for? Wealth? Power? Long life? Victory over enemies? All these things were within Yahweh's power to grant. Yet Solomon's thoughts turned not to personal gain, but to the immense responsibility that lay upon his shoulders. "You have shown great kindness to your servant David, my father," Solomon replied, his voice steady even within the vision. "Because he walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and uprightness of heart, you kept for him this great kindness and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." Solomon paused, feeling the weight of his words and the truth they carried. He was young, inexperienced, and the task before him was daunting. "Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number," Solomon continued. "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The request hung in the air, and there was a moment of silence. Solomon felt his heart beating in his chest, wondering if he had asked rightly. But then, the voice of Yahweh returned, filled with approval and love. "Because you have asked for this," the Lord said, "and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." When Solomon awoke, the dream still lingered vividly in his mind. It was as if Yahweh's voice had etched itself into his very soul. He rose early in the morning and returned to Jerusalem, where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant, offering burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. Solomon knew that something profound had happened, and though the dream had ended, the reality of Yahweh's promise was just beginning. 3. The Test of Wisdom. Solomon's wisdom soon became the talk of the kingdom, as he began to show a deep understanding and discernment in his judgments. But one case in particular would cement his reputation as a king like no other, one whose wisdom could unravel even the most tangled disputes. The case that came before Solomon was unusual, and it quickly captured the attention of the entire court. Two women, harlots by trade, came before the king, each holding a bitter claim against the other. The tension in the room was palpable as the women approached the throne, their faces drawn with grief and anger. The first woman spoke, her voice trembling, as she recounted the events of a terrible night. "My lord," she began, "this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. 3 days after my child was born, this woman also gave birth. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us." Her words were slow, deliberate, as she recounted the horror of what had happened next. "During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born." At this, the second woman quickly interjected, her voice rising in indignation. "No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours." But the first woman was insistent. "No, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine." And so the argument raged before the king, with both women claiming the living child as their own and neither willing to back down. The courtiers around Solomon watched in uneasy silence. This was a matter of life and death, and the truth seemed impossible to discern. How could Solomon know which woman was telling the truth? How could anyone? Solomon listened carefully, his eyes scanning the faces of the two women, watching their expressions, hearing the desperation in their voices. Then, in a moment that would later be remembered as one of the most famous judgments in history, Solomon made a shocking command. "Bring me a sword," he said. The courtiers exchanged confused glances, but they quickly obeyed the king's command. A sword was brought, gleaming in the torchlight, and handed to Solomon. The king's face was calm, his gaze steady, as he gave his next order. "Cut the living child in two," Solomon said, his voice steady. "Give half to one and half to the other." A stunned silence fell over the room. The two women stood frozen, their eyes wide with shock. Was the king serious? Would he truly divide the child, leaving neither woman with a living son? But before the sword could be raised, the first woman, the one who had spoken first, cried out in anguish. "Please, my lord," she pleaded, her voice breaking. "Give her the living baby. Don't kill him." The second woman, however, stood firm, her face hard and cold. "Neither I nor you shall have him," she said. "Cut him in two." Solomon watched the two women carefully, and in that moment, the truth became clear. He lowered the sword and turned to the court with a voice of authority. "Give the living baby to the first woman," Solomon declared. "Do not kill him. She is his mother." A murmur of approval rippled through the court as Solomon's wisdom became evident to all. The first woman collapsed in relief, tears streaming down her face as she was reunited with her son. The second woman stood in a stunned silence, her false claim exposed by the very wisdom of the king. 4. Solomon's wisdom spreads throughout the land. The story of Solomon's judgment spread like wildfire through Israel and beyond. The people marveled at the king's wisdom, recognizing that it was not just human cunning, but a divine gift from Yahweh. Solomon's reputation grew, and people from all over the land came to seek his counsel, hoping to experience the insight that had so quickly set him apart. Under Solomon's rule, Israel entered a golden age of peace and prosperity. The kingdom expanded its influence through alliances and trade, and Solomon's wealth grew immensely. He built great cities, fortified Jerusalem, and constructed the magnificent temple, a house for Yahweh, that would stand as a testament to Israel's faith and the covenant between God and his people. But it was not only his wealth and power that set Solomon apart. His wisdom became legendary, drawing the attention of kings and queens from distant lands. Even the Queen of Sheba, a monarch of great renown, journeyed to Jerusalem to test Solomon with difficult questions, marveling at the depth of his knowledge and the grandeur of his kingdom. Solomon's wisdom extended beyond the throne room. He composed thousands of proverbs and songs, and his knowledge of nature, from plants to animals, became renowned. People from all nations came to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, sent by kings who had heard of his great understanding. Yet despite all his wisdom, Solomon was not without flaws. As his reign continued, Solomon's heart began to turn away from Yahweh. He took many foreign wives, and they brought with them their gods and idols. Slowly, the king who had once sought wisdom and discernment began to stray from the path of righteousness, leading Israel into idolatry. 5. Epilogue: The Legacy of Solomon. Solomon's wisdom, a gift from Yahweh, was a beacon to the world. It brought peace and prosperity to Israel, expanded the kingdom's influence, and left a legacy that would be remembered for generations. Yet it also served as a reminder of the fragility of human nature. Even the wisest of men, if not vigilant, could fall into folly. Solomon's reign remains a paradox of greatness and failure, of wisdom and weakness. He had the heart of a wise ruler, but in the end, his heart turned away from Yahweh, leading to the eventual division of the kingdom after his death. Nonetheless, Solomon's name lives on, his wisdom a timeless example of the heights of human understanding, and the story of his judgment remains a testament to the divine gift that once set him apart as the wise king of Israel. In the end, the story of Solomon is one of hope, promise, and the enduring quest for wisdom, a reminder that, in all things, it is not just knowledge but the discernment of what is right that brings true justice and peace to the world.